And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Man Who Laughed, was adapted by Marion Voigt from Lilian Friedhoff's Stories of King Solomon, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America.
Is there anything stronger than a woman's curiosity? King Solomon once said there wasn't, and of course he was the wisest man who ever lived. Still, even wise men have second thoughts now and then. So hear now a story of how King Solomon had a second thought. It's a story of magic and laughter that all began when a friend of Solomon's named Asher went to visit him one year. Asher's visit was almost over. But there was one little ceremony without which none of Asher's visits was ever ended.
Come, Asher, I'll walk in the garden now, and you shall tell me what gift I shall give you this year.
But, Your Majesty, it's enough of a gift, surely, that you welcome me here at your palace and give me of your wisdom.
Now, Asher, there's no need for talk like that between us. You give me as much wisdom as I give you.
What, I? A poor farmer?
From whom else would I hear truly how life goes in the hills, how the crops are, how heavily the taxes weigh? Come, I have a fine new horse.
Oh, but Your Majesty, you gave me a fine horse 2 years ago, so splendid a creature that I'm envied everywhere.
That's right. And last year, it was a pearl for Esther.
Yes, and such a pearl, Your Majesty. Truly, Esther has been beside herself all year, finding places safe enough for it, and then getting it out to admire it yet again.
I'm glad she liked the gift. Your Esther is a pearl herself, Asher.
Ah, she is indeed, Your Majesty. Life without her would not be worth the living.
Perhaps another gem for Esther this year. No, I would give a gift to you this time. So, what shall it be? Come, a turn through the arbor while I think.
Oh, but Your Majesty, truly, there's nothing... Good heavens, though, those squirrels. What ails them?
Hark. One is scolding it. Wonderful.
Wonderful?
You should have heard the insults that squirrel was crying to the other. He was saying, don't come to me for nuts next winter. I'll tie you up in your own tail. Truly, a squirrel's tongue is as sharp as his teeth.
Your Majesty, there is a gift I wish.
Oh?
I want to understand the speech of beasts and birds as you do. Well, if only I could... Yes, Your Majesty, it would make me a truly happy man.
Oh, but, Asher...
So many hours of each day, I am with the animals. So many times I've wished to understand that they're lowing, they're bleating, that they're neighing, but... Perhaps it's a gift you cannot give, sire.
No, not that. With my magic power, I could give you that understanding quite easily, Asher. It is for your own sake I hesitate.
For my sake?
There is danger in the power, Asher. Terrible danger. It is only my magic ring that keeps me safe. I could give you no such charm against the danger.
What danger could there be in understanding the speech of animals?
If I were to give you that understanding, and if you were then to tell anyone at all, that you had such power, you would die at once, Asher.
Die?
I do not know why. All I know is that it is so.
But, Your Majesty, all that is needed, then, is the warning, and all will be well. I would breathe no word to anyone of my understanding.
You say that, Asher, but it is easy to say, but... You have been married to Esther how many years now? 20, 25?
22, Your Majesty.
Have you ever kept a secret from her in all that time?
You mean I couldn't even tell Esther?
You could not tell anyone. Keeping it from Esther might not be so easy, Asher. The strongest man has little hope against a woman... when she suspects a mystery.
Oh, but why would she need suspect, sire? Truly, I'm not such a child that words fall from my lips all unwitting. And, sire, is it not when men and women quarrel that secrets most often burst into the open?
True, that is well observed, Asher.
But, Your Majesty, in 22 years I've never quarreled with Esther, nor can I imagine myself ever doing so. I can keep the secret safe.
Asher, it is for your own sake only. But it is true you are not a child, nor have I ever heard you plead for anything. Lean forward, Asher. I must whisper a certain word in each ear.
Lean forward.
So, now the other ear. All right, Asher.
You mean I have the power?
You have the power. And from now on, your life depends on whether or not you can keep a secret, Asher, even from your wife. Above all, no hint to Esther of your new power, for there is nothing stronger in the world, old friend, than a woman's curiosity. Farewell now, and take care.
And so, with Solomon's warning ringing in his ears, Asher set off on the journey home. But it was impossible to stay serious long. Never had a gift brought with it such delight. Every step of the journey presented some new comedy. Two birds twittered on a bush by the road, and with his new power, Asher listened to their talk.
It's your turn, husband. Go get more worms for the little ones, quickly.
My turn, but it's time now to practice my trills.
You and your trills! You think I can go on day and night without rest so that you can trill? They're your little ones as well as mine. Go now.
But why?
None of that. Go, go. Can't you hear them shrieking? Worms, worms, and more worms.
Worms, worms, more worms. And we say happy as a bird. The poor birds have their problems too, I see.
A little farther down the road, Asher stopped again, as one sheep bleated to another in the field alongside. Come on, Asher heard the sheep bleating. You're supposed to follow the flock. But I don't want to, he heard the other sheep answer. Does every sheep in the world have to follow the flock whether he wants to or not?
Oh, there are rebels even in the world of sheep. Bravo, lambkin, bravo.
Further yet along the road, Asher was laughing again at an owl, angry at being wakened in the daylight, and again at two rabbits, boasting of their courage. He hardly noticed the length of the journey, and he was laughing again at the words of two dogs as he came near his own house.
Asher, you're home!
Well, that's what a dog thinks of man, eh? And we call him our best friend.
Asher!
Oh, Esther, I'm home.
Indeed, I see you are, husband. But what was so funny?
So funny?
I saw you laughing and chuckling as you came up the lane. You hardly noticed my first greeting. What were you laughing at?
Oh, something. It was something funny I saw down the road, my dear, that's all. Come, come now, a kiss for your husband, here. Then you shall see the fine goods I brought you from Jerusalem.
Oh, husband, you shouldn't have, but where are they?
Say you won't mind looking at them, eh?
You know I won't. And I want to know all about the fashions at court, too, and how King Solomon fares, and... Oh, what gift did the king give you this year, Asher? Tell me.
Oh, what gift?
Yes, what? I know he always gives you something splendid.
But this year, I asked him to give me nothing this year.
Oh, so he didn't. Well, that's good. He's been overly generous in the past. But where are the goods now, Asher?
The first hurdle was met and out of the way, and without any need for a lie either. And now, as the days passed by, Asher found life on the farm happier than he had ever known it, thanks to his new and secret power. For the first time, he really got acquainted with his old, familiar animals. Patient and hardworking was how Asher had always thought of his ox. Now he discovered the ox was a bit of a whiner, too, suffering a good deal from self-pity.
Oh, my back. Oh, that yoke.
Oh, come now, old fellow. It's not that heavy, I know.
Smart but stubborn, that's how he'd thought of his donkey. Now he discovered that the donkey's own opinion of his intelligence soared far beyond that.
Who's smart? I'm smart. Who runs this farm just how he wants it? Me, that's who.
Well, now, listen to that. He runs the farm, the donkey, eh?
Asher, you here?
Oh, yes, yes, Esther, here by the stalls. Well, he runs the farm.
Dinner's
eh?
Ready. What are you laughing at, Asher?
Laughing at?
Yes, what are you laughing at all alone here in the barn? What's so funny?
Why, I just thought of something.
Well, tell me so that I can laugh, too.
Tell you? Well, it was nothing. It was nothing. Come, come, you said dinner was ready, didn't you? Well, come, let's go.
Do not give Esther even a hint of your secret, Solomon had said. If you tell anyone of your power, you die. And so quickly enough, Asher assumed a solemn face and talked of drought and plague till Esther, too, was sighing. But then, that evening, he went out to feed the animals, and he overheard another conversation between the ox and the donkey.
Oh, my life is hard, friend donkey. Very hard.
Well, whose fault, I ask? Why don't you play it smart, my friend?
Play it smart? How?
See me working every day of the week? Like you? No, you bet you don't. Did I work yesterday?
No, but you were sick.
Sick? The master thought I was sick. Know why?
No, why?
When he put out hay for me at night, I did not eat a bite. Next morning, there was the hay, untouched. He thought for sure I must be sick, and left me all day in the storm.
Ooh, and you weren't sick at all?
Smart, that's all. Oh, smartest creature on this farm. But you could do the same, old friend.
Say, you think I could?
Why not? Try it tonight. When the master feeds you, don't eat a bite. Not one blade of hay. You'll spend the day tomorrow at ease.
Well, it looks like that donkey does have the laugh on me. I did think he was sick yesterday. Yeah, looks like I learned how to understand these creatures just in time. That donkey is smarter than I realized. Any smarter, and he would be running the farm.
But now, without giving any sign of his understanding, Asher put out hay and straw for both the donkey and the ox, patted them both, and returned chuckling to the house.
Asher, what is so funny?
What? I am sorry, my dear. I was just thinking of something.
Thinking of something?
Yes.
You seem to be thinking of something a lot lately. You've been smiling and chuckling ever since you came back from visiting King Solomon.
No. Esther, I think you're mistaken.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Well, from now on, you watch, Esther. You'll see I don't smile or laugh at all. Unless, of course, it's something that you're smiling and laughing at, too.
Now, at last, Asher saw where the danger lay. Not in any hints he might drop, but in his own amusement at what he heard the animals say. But have you ever tried not to laugh when something was amusing you? Well, late that night, Asher couldn't resist a quick trip to the barn to see if the ox was following the donkey's shrewd advice. Sure enough, there stood the ox, His eyes closed in sleep, while right under his nose lay a fine pile of hay just as Asher had left it. But now, even as Asher watched, the donkey stirred, gave a quick look at the ox, and then with a snickering hee-haw, he stretched out his long neck toward the ox's food.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Another meal tastes fine tonight.
Why, that rascal, that thief. Was there ever such a scoundrel of a donkey? No wonder he grows fat and sleek eating the poor ox's dinner as well as his own. All right. All right, I'll fix him.
And I suppose you're going to tell me that you're not sitting there grinning like a cat.
Grinning? Me? Yes, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I was thinking about, my dear. I was thinking I won't make the ox work tomorrow, and the donkey will work. The donkey will work twice as hard as usual.
You're laughing again. Now, why?
I don't know. It just seemed funny. Maybe I'm getting old. Yes, I'm old, my dear, and tired. I'd best go up to bed right now.
He must stop laughing. He had to. At any rate, when Esther was around. Fortunately, she wasn't in the barn next morning when the donkey found out that the ox was getting the day off and he himself was working.
Why should I work when it's plain? He's eating well.
Oh, I didn't eat.
Look at your manger. It's empty.
Oh, I know, but I never ate that hay.
All right, come on now, friend donkey. To the fields with you.
Me? Ooh, not fair. Not fair.
At least not what you planned. Come on now, move along.
But Esther wasn't around to hear him laughing, so it was all right. All day, Asher worked the donkey hard, in spite of his balkiness and rage. That night, as he brought him back into the barn, Asher was sure the beast was too tired for any more tricks.
Oh, now, into your stall with you.
So, friend donkey, how was the day?
How was the day? Oh, fine! Fine. I did all your work and mine, too. And I heard some pleasant news, too.
Tell me.
I heard the master talking to a neighbor. He said if you didn't eat again tonight, he was going to slaughter you.
Slaughter me?
Yeah, that's right. You see now where your tricks get you?
I played no tricks, but now he'll slaughter me if I don't eat. Oh, I'll eat. Where's my food? Food.
Oh, it is too much. It is too much. Nothing stops the head donkey. I've got to teach him a lesson. But how? How? Oh, dear. That poor ox.
As he approached the house, Asher did his best to smooth the laughter from his face. When he sat down to the table, he was as grave as a judge. He wouldn't laugh. And then Esther asked him a question.
Asher, why in the world was the ox bellowing that way a little while ago?
The ox bellowing, my dear? Well, who knows why oxen bellow? Perhaps he was hungry. Perhaps.
Asher, what's funny?
Funny? It is nothing. Nothing, really. Nothing, Esther.
Happened to think of something.
Yes. Yes, that's right, Esther.
Nothing you'd want to tell me, though.
No. No, I guess not, Esther.
I see. All right, then. I've got something to tell you now. Maybe you'll find this a big joke, too. But unless you tell me right now, this minute, what it is you find so funny all the time, I'm walking out of this house for good.
But Esther, I can't tell you.
Goodbye, then, Esther.
No, wait, Esther, please. My dear, you know I love you. You know my life's worth nothing without you.
Really? But to have me stay isn't worth telling me your joke?
Esther, please, you don't know. If I do...
Yes.
But isn't it just as bad if I don't? Yes, I'm caught. I'm caught either way. Might I not just as well? All right, Esther, I'll tell you what you want to know.
Oh, well?
But if you please, Esther, will you give me just 1 hour first? 1 hour, my dear, and then I will tell you all. Say goodbye to all I love. Little Spot, you want to come along? Come then, old friend. Walk beside me out here in the darkness.
Don't be sad, Master.
No, don't be sad. King Solomon warned me, nothing on earth is stronger than a woman's curiosity. So it's goodbye to my fig tree, my olive. Goodbye to the rocks I carried with such pain from the field to the wall. Goodbye to the baby chicks and the hens. Goodbye, old rooster, too.
All right, wives, away from that grain. I want to eat.
Quiet, you. Have you no feeling at all, rooster?
Feeling for what? Why?
For our master, fool. Our master must die in an hour.
Die? Why?
He has a secret, and the mistress demands that he tell it to her. If he does, he will die.
Well, so why does he tell?
If she doesn't, she will leave him, and that he cannot bear. Have a little pity and respect, I pray you.
Pity and respect for a fool like that. Well, let me at that grain.
How dare you call our master a fool?
Because he is. Look at me. 2 dozen wives and they all scatter when I speak. He has one wife and he cannot manage her. Fool. He deserves to die.
Not so.
Quiet, Spot, quiet. But isn't the rooster right? Am I not a fool if I forfeit my life so easily? So, I'll go tell Esther now that I'm the master, not she. Esther, how there you are. Listen to me now.
So, Asher, you've come to tell me what you laughed
at. No, I have come to admit to you frankly that I have a secret.
Oh.
A secret I cannot tell or I die. Do you want me to die, my wife?
To die?
As a man of some sense and reason, I refuse to ask for that fate. Will you leave me then because I do not tell you my secret? When it's life or death if I speak? Or do you love me enough to wish me my life? Or is your curiosity stronger than all?
You speak, you die. Oh, husband, I love you. I want you alive. You may have what secret you wish. How could you think that I'd want you to die? Keep your secret, Asher. Keep it forever and stay alive and love me.
Good my lord, King Solomon, I write you today in all humility to tell you you were wrong. There is something stronger than a woman's curiosity. If a man be but strong enough, say as strong as a rooster, his will is stronger than her desire. It is true, O king, for 10 months have passed, and even when I laugh aloud, and Esther guesses not the reason why, she only looks at me and sighs and smiles, not asking to know more.
In the course of time, King Solomon had Asher's letter. He took it to the garden, read it, and pondered it. And then he laughed aloud.
So friend Asher thinks his will has overridden Esther's. Ah, good Asher. I was wrong, that is true. There is something stronger than a woman's curiosity, but you are wrong, too, when you think it is your will. Not your will, but her love is the answer. Her love is stronger than her curiosity. Yes, love is strong as death, though jealousy be cruel as the grave. Laugh on, friend Asher, fortunate man. Though curiosity be strong, love is still the strongest yet.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi David C. Kogan, Director of Community Activities for the United Synagogues of America. Rabbi Kogan.
Curiosity, an important element in today's presentation, is also a significant factor in one part of the story of Purim, the festival which is being celebrated today by Jews throughout the world. Purim is based on the well-known story in the Book of Esther. It commemorates the day when, through the intervention of Mordecai and Queen Esther, Haman failed in his attempt to exterminate the Jews of Persia. The first miracle in the Purim story took place when Mordecai overheard the two chamberlains of the king plotting to take the life of the monarch. Mordecai informed Queen Esther of their plan, and she in turn told the king in Mordecai's name. After a full investigation, the conspirators were punished, and the record of this incident was inscribed in the Book of Chronicles of the king. How did Mordecai discover the plot of the two chamberlains? Tradition has it that Mordecai was well versed in all 70 languages of the world. The two chamberlains discussed their plans in the presence of Mordecai, acting upon the unwarranted assumption that he would not understand the language they spoke, Tarsian, their native tongue. Thus, it was Mordecai's intellectual curiosity in the study of languages which helped save the king's life in the first instance and eventually helped to save Mordecai and his people from destruction. In our day, scientific progress has made the world into a great neighborhood. If we are to live with our neighbors in peace and friendship, we must exercise our intellectual curiosity in a constructive manner. Like Mordecai of old, it behooves us to learn something of the language, culture, and problems of our neighboring nations. A literary critic once wrote a devastating review of a new book. He was asked if he knew the author. "If I were acquainted with the author," he replied, "I could not write so disparagingly." If we were really curious to know our neighbors, become acquainted with them, and understand their problems, there could never be a threat of a Haman in this world. We would at least learn to live and let live. Perhaps, when we and other nations come to appreciate each other more fully, we may yet learn to live and help live.
Thank you, Rabbi Kogan. Our eternal light drama today, The Man Who Laughed, was written by Marion Voigt from Lillian Freehoff's Stories of King Solomon, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. Featured in the cast were Alan Bunce as the man who laughed, Lawrence Williams as his wife, Bernard Lenro as King Solomon, and assorted animals played by Sarah Fussell, Maurice Ellis, Joseph Latham, Humphrey Davis, and Dick McKay. The narrator was Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.